I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Anne Filippi, founder of The New Health Club. If you want to know about psychedelics as new mental health tools, you came to the right place. I talk to innovators, thought leaders, and disruptors creating the future of mental health and mental wellness. And we think that the future is already here. 2022 is coming and we need new perspectives, new ideas of our lives. As you know, Field Trip Amsterdam offers a wide range of travel programs. The center based in Amsterdam is designed to promote a process of personal development and inner healing in an inspiring, meditative, and restful environment. And guess what? We have an incredible and magic Christmas offer for you here. Between December 15th and January 15th, 2022, you will get 30% off the price if you book through the New Health Club. So, do you want to experience a safe, legal, and vetted travel experience? Are you thinking about a psychedelic-assisted couples therapy for a long time? Or would you like to look into a travel group therapy? All these options are now 30% off. Just shoot us an email to explore@thenewhealthclub.de and we take it from here. I repeat it for you again, explore@thenewhealthclub.de. We're super excited to hear from you. Hi and welcome to a new episode of The New Health Club Show. And also the last one for this year, 2021, before we go on a Christmas break. Today, we are talking about couples and truffles. And yes, we mean psychedelic-assisted couples therapy. I was really excited to have two experts on that topic on the show since my perception and maybe also relationship structure changed slowly but surely after my own psychedelic experiences. So why could this type of therapy be groundbreaking for the coming years? Why could it be a version of therapy 2.0? And if so, how could it look like? Who would you and your partner be if you meet without the trauma you might carry with you? That's a very interesting question to me. Today, we got two experts who are executing an interesting version of truffle-assisted couples therapy. So today, I talked to the therapist Janine Surin and psychiatrist Hans van Wechem, who are in charge of couples therapy at Field Trip in Amsterdam. The center is designed to promote a process of personal development and inner healing in an inspiring, meditative, and restful environment. So, a few words on Janine and Hans. With an extensive professional career in mental health, Janine holds degrees, both MSc and specializations in psychology, psychotherapy, clinical sexology, and couples and family therapy. She's accredited and licensed in the Netherlands and has worked as a lead clinician in several mental health settings. She's passionate about the therapeutic potential of psychedelics in combination with psychotherapy. Janine believes that by tapping into the deep psyche through psychedelics, suppressed patterns, emotions, and beliefs can be made conscious again, allowing for healthy changes. Over to Hans now. Hans van Wechem has almost 30 years of experience in psychiatry and started his career as a registered couples and family therapist before specializing in group psychotherapy of patients with early childhood trauma and attachment disorder. After a life-changing psychedelic experience, he recognized the potential of psychedelics in therapy. He now contributes to projects such as MAPS in their efforts to investigate MDMA for treatment of PTSD and has a wide network in the psychedelic community. His main interest lies in contributing to a future in which the use of psychedelics will become widely accepted, both as an evidence-based treatment and as a powerful catalyst for personal and spiritual growth. So, how do the typical couples topic like dealing with an affair, regaining trust, intimacy, or battling disconnection in the light of psychedelic-assisted couples therapy look like? And how can we support an idea of conscious uncoupling with exactly these kind of therapies? I know this could be easy, make like 3 podcasts, but today you get like the great survey of these topics in terms of psychedelic therapy, couples therapy, as we said. And I'm very excited to present to you now Hans van Wechem and Janine Zuren from Field Trip Amsterdam.
Welcome to the New Health Club show. Hans van Wechem and Janine, how do you pronounce your names? Zuren?
Is yes. It like,
okay. Yeah. So obviously, I'm super excited to have you on the show, not only because I'm a huge fan of Field Trip, but also because you guys are, let's say, the people at Field Trip Amsterdam for a psychedelic couples therapy. So, and since this is a really new topic in the field, you guys should please explain what that is.
So you are absolutely right, Anne. It is a new field that we are entering here at Field Trip because we are actually firm believers of deepening relationships, or the potential of deepening a relationship when we combine couples therapy with a psychedelic journey. So we have the fortunate position at Field Trip in Amsterdam that we have qualified and licensed couples therapists who made a program, and Hans and me are leading this, who made a program for couples that are looking to strengthen their relationship or to deepen their relationship. And this program will be launched in January of next year.
So, and how do we have to imagine this? So a couple comes in and does psychedelics together, or is it like a separate experience and then you kind of reunite afterwards?
Yeah, I think first of all, both of them will get their individual screening beforehand, okay, like we do individual clients as well, because we want to know if people are eligible to join the program. Mm-hmm. And as you know, we use in an exclusion criteria, so people have to be mature enough and stable enough to be able to integrate whatever what might come up during a psychedelic experience. And as you know, psychedelic experience in itself are quite unpredictable. And it might be an understatement for a lot of people as well. And I think the beauty of it is that it will really get people out of their old patterns. And relational issues are always about patterns that people find really difficult to give up, because in that sense, an old pattern is another word for sort of security. That's what you know. Mm-hmm. And psychedelic experience, as you know, is a way of resetting the brain, resetting and breaking open old patterns, so you can start from another perspective. But you have to be able to sort of speak the same language. And that's why I think a couple therapy approach embedded within a traditional structure, psychotherapy as we know it, it's never been done before, but it is absolutely breaking new grounds and enables both partners to talk out of a new era, a new experience, which a psychedelic experience in itself always is.
Right.
But you have to speak the same language, mm-hmm, so to speak.
So, so you kind of individually decide if they would take the truffles together or separately? It's like an individual decision for each couple?
Yeah. Actually, we decided that the couples therapy hours are spent together as a couple, but the screening and the actual inner journey are independent. They can be at the same time, but they will be in separate rooms so that someone can fully focus on entering their own inner landscape and not feel any inhibitions by the partner. But right after the inner journey, we continue with the couples therapy process.
Okay. Interesting.
Because we found out that being able to experience a psychedelic experience to the fullest, it's all about being able to surrender to the experience itself. And as long as you have to keep one part of your mind still present in controlling an environment, or like within couples, there's always a part of you that is sort of occupied with how your partner is doing. Mm-hmm. So that is sort of maybe an inner conflict, that part of your brain wants to have control over the outside world, while at the same time you're being invited and sometimes even pushed into letting go and surrendering. So we're giving it a lot of thought about how to approach this, whether or not we should allow both partners to have an experience at the same time, if that would be more beneficial than having them have their separate experiences and having them talk about it afterwards within the frame of a psychotherapeutical approach.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I mean, I feel like couples therapy has this weird reputation that you know so many movies and TV shows. The classic scene is like the couple is in couples therapy and it's horrible. The therapist is stupid or like nobody likes them. So, but at the same time, like it seems to be a very big need in society because my experience is that, or my perception is, it's in every movie now. There's a scene with a couples therapist suddenly. So, and of course, a lot of people say, oh God, now those people have to go to couples therapy, which means the end of the relationship is near. So, but psychedelic couples therapy has like such a different, or will have such a different impact on a couple. So, and maybe you can just, for people who would really like to look into this, which I feel are a lot, could explain what will be the difference between the classic couples therapy and the ones, the, let's say, the couples and truffles idea.
Couples and truffles, right. It has a nice yeah. sound to it. Some truffles.
That's a really good question. If with your permission, Hans, I thought about that too, because I have been, and just like Hans, a couples therapist for a long time. But this really is the next frontier.
Yeah.
This really allows people to have the inner dialogue that no therapist has ever been able to break through before, and with the increased insights due to the inner dialogue, if psychological flexibility increases, and thus it has an immediate impact on the relationship, because all of a sudden what really matters becomes very clear. So trivialities like, you know, the regular conflicts of withdrawing and attacking, it all goes into a different structure. So the potential of sharing a psychedelic experience and doing couples therapy means, just by investing in a relationship trajectory, you give it attention, but attention to such an extent, it must grow. Whatever you feed grows. So I think it's going to be very special. It doesn't always mean that the relationship is going to be happily ever after. Not at all.
No.
It's not our intention either. But it does deepen your own insight, and that makes conversations a lot more significant often in a relationship. Because how often do couples live under the same roof and not even see each other? But this one, with this experience, you look at one another and you really see one another again.
Unless you understand all relationships are a representation of the relationship that you have with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that you project on the outside world is stuff that you don't recognize as belonging to yourself in the first place. Mm-hmm. So becoming aware of what it is that you are projecting, and sometimes that can be really confronting during a psychedelic experience, because it's been shown to you in a sometimes really direct way. I see you nodding your head.
Yeah.
So I think you recognize what I'm talking about. So I think it's all about improving the relationship that you have with yourself.
Yeah.
And as a positive spin-off, I think you will become more aware of what it is that you do in the relationship with someone else, including your partner. And I think another difference might be is that, well, the, let's call it already the classical approach. We're looking ahead.
Yeah.
The classical approach of partner relational therapy is always problem orientated.
Right, exactly.
People will ask for therapy, and like you say, sometimes when it's 2 to 12, mm-hmm. or most of the times when it's 5 past 12.
Yeah.
While this could be an edit in deepening an already solid relationship to another level, and it will be more out of curiosity towards your partner and yourself. So it's not that problem orientated necessarily.
But I mean, I find it also fascinating what you, Janine, what you said earlier, that that let's say if you decide to separate afterwards, the separation is really authentic and not like we should separate because so and so and so. And I mean, I had this, my first experience with truffles afterwards, I really was able to, I know some people might hate this expression, but I was able to conscious uncouple from a yes. person that I was not, and I saw in the trip that we were not a couple. And it was a very, first of all, before the psychedelic experience, it was a very difficult separation. And afterwards, I've seen, and that was so interesting, I've seen in the trip that that person, a man, was actually a gay person. Mm. In my trip, I saw it. And I always had this kind of intuition, but I was like, no, how should this be? It can't be like... So, and then later on, in after the separation, this turned out to be true. So, and but I, while I experienced it in a trip, I didn't even know that, that it would be just like maybe something that came to me in the psychedelic experience. But I was really able to completely kind of disengage in a very peaceful way. And today, if I meet that person, I'm like, oh God, this was my ex-boyfriend. I totally forget about it. It's so mm-hmm. interesting how this can lead you to lead you out of this trajectory of like, oh, why are we not together anymore? What did go wrong? Da, 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 for years and years of a lifetime, almost, I would say.
Yeah, I'm hearing you. And actually, I was also thinking of conscious uncoupling because it's a famous term. But I must say, we are very careful with literally interpreting what people experience in the journey, because it can also be symbolic. And then with the therapeutic part after the inner journey, we talk about the potential meaning of the symbolism that someone has been through and what it could mean in the current relationship. So certainly the conscious awareness increases of how you relate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like the most popular reason why people get into couples therapy is because one part of the couple had an affair, right? I mean, and since Esther Perel, we know that is the number one. Tell me.
Therapy, because they say, here's the problem and I'm coming too.
Okay.
Can you fix the other person?
Okay, exactly. So, but what is your, what would you say is then the approach in psychedelic therapy? Like the, let's say, how would you approach the affair topic then?
Well, we always, during the screening, we make it a point to ask about secrets. And that's why we have an individual screening at the beginning. Because if there are secrets, we really need to find a way, how is this going to benefit or not? Or how are we going to go about unspoken things? But if, like, for example, an affair is out in the open, we try to find out more about the meaning of an affair or the way that led to the affair. It can be many things, but in the first session after the screening, we map the relationship, but we also map the individual. So we look at the history, the attachment issues, and the relationship dynamic, because it takes, it really does take two to tango. That's another open door. But so we really pay attention to fundamental factors that can play a role in, well, how does an affair, or what is the how and the why of the affair?
Okay, interesting. And so that means also, it sounds like you already have had clients that underwent together, like a couple or couples that underwent the truffle therapy, or is it something you already researched a little bit, right? I guess
we've done a lot of private research.
Okay,
if I may say so.
Yeah. Yeah.
But officially, we're going to the program in January. So we are also, you know, we've also done research to the MDMA couples protocol, but that was where one party was suffering from PTSD, and the other partner was taken into the process. But there has not been any published research of psilocybin in couples therapy.
Wow. So you're the first ones, basically.
So we are the pioneers.
Yeah,
and,
good.
And we obviously, we've explored different pathways ourselves.
But why do you think that truffles are so, are actually a good compound for this kind of therapy?
Yeah, well, there are lots of ways to approach this. And I don't think we need specifically to put this quality up on truffles or on other psychedelics. I think, again, it's possibility to break open old patterns. And you can do it through talking and making people more aware and practicing. And we know that the intensity of any experience has a relationship with the outcome of it. So we know that talking for half an hour on a casual basis doesn't have the same impact of doing an intensive retreat where you are working on the same topic for a number of days. So the more intense the experience is, the more profound it leaves, it can change something within you. And psychedelic experiences, as you know, most of the times are really intense. So it creates an inner necessity for wanting to change. And in general, you can say there are at least four factors that people need to comply with in order to change at all. First of them, there has to be a necessity. Now, is there a necessity in partner relational issues? Well, that's something that you really need to find out when you start. Because one of the partners might think there is, while the other partner is already gone and sort of is going through the motions to sort of being able to say, I've really tried to save this relationship and already had a hidden agenda that his partner or her partner didn't know about, right? So you have to tune in. Is there a necessity from both sides? The higher the necessity, the higher the change that people want to change. Two, do people have a focus, an objective they want to work at? What is their fantasy about how the relationship might be or how they want it to be? So is there a directive? There has to be an agreement there as well. If one says the relationship would really improve if you would allow me to see more men or more women, that we have an open relationship, and the other partner says, well, that's not particularly what I had in mind.
Yeah.
Then you have to find out what the differences are. The third thing is, are they willing to take full responsibility for their own part in the relationship? As long as you keep externalizing your problems and make the other person responsible for your own well-being, yeah, it won't be that effective. And fourth, really important, are you willing to keep on working on it? So that's the integration part. Otherwise, it would be a one-off experience. Wonderful. But if you don't follow up on it,
yeah,
well, a waste of effort, isn't it?
And if I'm right, when Hans says, is there a necessity? Necessity can, necessity can also spring from personal development or a life stage change. Because in my opinion, if one person changes in the relationship, the other one has to grow too. And that growth is almost never parallel. So so this doing this together will lead to personal growth at the same time for a part of it.
Because, I mean, it's almost like, I mean, you often have this situation where one person does a psychedelic experience and comes home and is like, oh, I've seen this and now I know who I am. And the other person has no idea. And this could be like a serious issue, I think, at one point in a relationship. Yeah. Because sometimes this is such a different perception of reality or like the life together that is really almost like impossible to figure out. But so when you kind of create the concept or the therapy you start in January, how would you imagine the integrational part? So the what the couple talks about after the experience?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like the total program consists of about 30 hours.
Oh, wow.
Of which 8 hours are the inner journeys, but the rest of the hours are really couples therapy, including values, shared values, because very often an individual's values system before a journey is quite different from when they come out. And then we try to see what are your shared values? What's your shared relationship vision? What's your role in it? What's your position? And how do you look in the same direction before you finish the program?
But I mean, like, of course, we didn't do this in the beginning, but I feel you guys have such a interesting background, and you both are very experienced couples therapist, one should say. Just you're not just starting this. So I would like to talk each one of you about how you found, let's say, the way to psychedelics, or how your, let's say, old idea of a therapist turned into a therapist 2.0 idea, maybe?
I like that. I'm going to steal that.
Please.
So I am also a sexologist, a clinical sexologist. That always plays a role in relationships, especially when relationships are a little bit longer. So in my private practice, I found that I was running into a dead-end street sometimes, and that there was so much to be gained. But I also work with traumas and people with... So I started investigating, okay, what comes after EMDR, which is an eye movement intervention for trauma therapy. Then I came on the path of the MDMA research. And then luckily I have a partner who's very willing to adventure with me. So I wanted to know what happens in your brain when you do this. And so for the first time in my life in 48 years, I don't even drink alcohol. I'm not 48 now, but I was then. We tried MDMA, and I was writing everything down, the heart rate and what happened. Oh, what do I feel now? And I was looking in his eyes like, okay, your pupils are so much now. And so, but then after I thought, okay, put down my paper and I'm going to really feel what's happening. And as we all know, the inhibitions and the rigidity in thinking patterns significantly reduces. That's what led me to the legal options that we have available, and ultimately fast forward down the road to now, this is what what we do with psilocybin now, and how we can work with psilocybin and relationships. And I don't know if I lost my track here, but
so that experience or experiences you made actually convince you that there's more to gain also in a psychedelic assisted therapy, right? I mean,
I have a big toolbox which is full of tools. Okay. Any intervention is there. I've studied it and I actually have a license in it. But now I found out there is a second layer in the toolbox, and that's where the treasure is. And the second layer really it can be reached with psychedelics. So I am really thinking that of all the traditional approaches, they can be very beneficial to a certain point. But if you want the next level, this is it.
And then, Hans, before you go, switch to you. But do you feel, because I always feel like there's a strong need for a second level, for a next level, because it's almost like the reality we have now is not needs another tool set than 20 years ago.
Yes.
I would say.
Absolutely, because everybody has a roof above their head. We don't have to worry about can we pay the bill or not. Our children go to good schools, so the basic human needs are met. So people look for meaning.
Right.
They look for the why. And where can you find that better than how you relate with others? How what about your connectivity? That's what is a human need much more now than...
Yeah, and also, I mean, you can meet people online, like there's no limitation. That's also a big challenge for a lot of people if they can't adjust to that, but still they have to do it. It's like such a different skill set you need to bring to the table in terms of relationships that wasn't the case even 10 years ago, I would say. It was very different.
Yeah, and also the
No, Hans is next.
But also the type of relationships, like Esther Perel says, you know, way back when it was all about monogamy, but that is changing too. So there's polyamorous relationships, there's open relationships, there's much more available. But that also means how do you find meaning in relationships, whatever format that takes place in, and that's changing, a changing landscape too.
Very interesting. So Hans, I mean, please tell me a little bit like how you started as a psychiatrist. I mean, this is like you come from a very established world, from a very kind of classic idea of psychiatry. And then now you're here executing experiments with truffles next year. So maybe you can talk about this.
Maybe I wasn't really established or traditional psychiatrist to start with. I've done a lot of therapy myself because I needed it. And most of it was already body orientated. I'm a bonding psychotherapist as well.
You might want to explain that that's not BDSM.
Exactly. No, good point. It's because some people might think that's that.
No. Yes. It's all about holding. We know that physical closeness sort of enables people to become emotionally more open. So the whole bonding psychotherapy is something that's been around for over 50 years. It was invented, so to speak, by an American psychoanalyst that already... It found out that talk and cure in itself wasn't that effective. So you need the body as well. So from the first moment, I was already really aware of that talking in itself wasn't the answer in itself. And medication in itself isn't a treatment, but will enable people to open up for a cure. So it was turning it around. So from a traditional point of view, we always were thinking that medication in itself would really heal and cure people. And my starting point was different in terms of when there's too much pain, you won't allow yourself to open up. And pain in itself makes people egocentric. So medication as a painkiller can help people to open up. So that's in general. And the psychopharmaceutical stuff that we use helps until a certain point. I'm not saying it's useless. It isn't. I'm happy as a psychiatrist that I can help people with the stuff I can prescribe. And in my late teens, early 20s, I came in contact with a world-famous book, The Teachings of Don Juan. And I don't know if you know it. It's all about an American coming across a shaman, Indian, in Mexico. It was all about peyote, psychedelic experiences. And I was really into it, reading it. And I promised myself, it's one time in my life I will have the opportunity to experience this myself. I will do so. It took a couple of decades. And my first experience with was ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. I've never taken drugs or whatever in my life. So this.
Wow. It's strong.
I didn't quite know what I was getting myself into. It was and the most horrific experience in my life and the most beautiful and powerful experience in my life. And it made me aware of the potential, incredible, because it opened up parts of me that I was never able to reach before with all the therapeutical stuff that I'd been doing until then. So it made me really aware of how powerful this could be, but it also made me aware of how dangerous it could be mm-hmm. if it would not guide it in a professional yes. way by people that know what they were doing. And I had some experiences as well in ceremonies where people definitely didn't know what they were doing. So, and I had clients that suffered the consequences of those experiences as well. So it made me very early on aware of the necessity of a structured and safe setting. So when this opportunity came around with Field Trip opening their doors, I thought, well, this is the right combination of factors. There are people that are really passionate about working with psychedelics, like I am, but also know the importance of the right setting, the structure, integration, the screening, because it's not for everyone. It definitely is not for everyone. So you need to be sure what you're doing. So I think, well, this is the right place to be for me at the mm-hmm. moment.
And I mean, what if people talk to you like in the calls, like if they want to do this, what's the reason and what brought them there? So what is their biggest fear? What do they fear most that could happen after, let's say, a psychedelic couples therapy? So is the biggest fear that they would break up, or is it that they would be somebody else that they never thought they would be, or what is your experience so far?
Yeah, well, I think in general, and that's something I always tell to all of my clients, whether or not they come for partner relational therapy or not, what I say to people is, the most important side effect of individual psychotherapy is partner relational problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if you change the relationship that you have with yourself during the process, all the relationships with people outside of yourself will change as well, like
right.
Janine was
yeah.
saying. You can't see it apart. So it's inevitable that if you change your perspective and the reasons why you chose your partner in the first place change, what you liked about him or her before you find annoying after a while.
Yeah, sure.
So addressing it from two routes at the same time, yeah, well, it's, you recognize stuff.
Yes, yeah.
So this is why addressing it from a partner relationship point mm-hmm. of view makes more sense if you will sort of start this adventure with two people at the same time. There's no guarantee that they will grow in the same yes. direction.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't grow in the same direction. They are more aware of their own movement instead of making the other person responsible for the change that they can't handle themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the individual growth in the relationship. And in our experience, we've seen a lot of individuals doing our psychedelic programs. And we always try to involve the home front at some point, because there is a big discrepancy, as you said before, between someone who has been through an experience and someone who hasn't. Because you can talk about it, talk. It's never the same as actually feeling. And with the psychedelic couples program, there is a new language. Hans called it shared language, because as you might know, there's five languages in love. One is words, I love you. The second one is touching, hugging. The third one is time, meaningful mm-hmm. time. The fourth one is presents, funnily enough, like gifts. And the fifth one is acts of service. Those are the five languages we know in love, right? And every person has a different way of expressing themselves, but each one of them is as valid as the other one. But this language, the psychedelic language, is feel.
Ah, wow. So in language number 7, basically, right?
No, six. Number okay. 6.
Yeah.
Feeling and experiencing. And the beauty of it is you're both learning a new language at the same time. It's like learning Mandarin. If one person has a head start of 1 month, you're never going to catch up. Or at least I could.
Yeah. But isn't this like, I feel like the most feared thing is that people say, okay, I don't want to feel too much in a relationship, because then I'm kind of too dependent from the other person.
Yeah, well, this program is not for beginners.
Yeah.
So this is really 2.0.
Okay.
I mean, someone would come to us who has no previous couples therapy experience
okay.
or who hasn't had an exploration path. We really have to look carefully if this is the right match.
Right.
Because it's not the easiest one.
No, of course. But one thing I'm really interested in is that, I mean, have all these articles been in the last years that marriage, basically a long marriage, is something that was fabricated in the Western world. And because the romantic love is just a bourgeois invention, and the reality is it's a transactional business relationship before there was romantic love. So meaning that long marriages are basically something that's impossible to execute for human beings. So do you agree with that? Or is this something that we just have problems with sustainable long-term relationships these days?
Do you know, Anne, at what age long-term couples have the best sex?
60.
Exactly.
I was just guessing. I have no idea. I was just saying.
Above 50.
Okay.
And you know why? Because our machines don't work so quick and fast and rapid anymore as it did when we were 25. So that means more attention is needed from your partner to fine-tuning the gears, but also to talking more about it, which means more depth. You're laughing,
no,
right?
I
you're
love
not
it.
Even 50.
I love it. It's so true.
You're thinking, yeah, it's ahead of me. So what I'm saying is, to your question, is, yeah, there is something to say for all our long-term relationships old-fashioned. You could also think, or can we go deeper?
But, I mean, most people would like to have a marriage or like a relationship like that. It's like, that's everybody's dream, right? To have a long-term, sustainable, not everybody's, but in general, I feel like people are longing for meaningful relationships. And at the same time, saying that, that if you don't have them, that is often contributing to depression, according to Gabor Maté, that if you're not in nature, if you don't have meaningful relationships, if you kind of isolated, that's a huge part in feeling depressed and maybe also, I don't know, like just disconnected from life in general. So, I mean, I feel always that, and we talked to Onur about this in the podcast before, is that I feel like psychedelic treatments or like what you guys are doing in the Netherlands could actually, if you do this like twice a year as a couple or as friends, also as a group of friends or as a family also in the long term, maybe, exactly. That it will actually really save your lifetime and make your life just better. I mean, I'm totally convinced this is why I built this company. We are totally pushing these topics because it's not only like the single person and their experience, it's also like a group experience, right? What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, when you talk about meaningful relationships, I think that's the key. What makes a relationship meaningful? And I make the distinction between conditional love and unconditional love.
Right, okay.
And relationships are, most of it, about conditions. You have to meet the right conditions.
Yeah.
In that sense, you can look at it, and it's more, you can say, a cynical approach. You could say it's a business deal. A business deal that goes on to the deepest level. You have a business deal with your with the butcher and with the guy working in the shop. Mm-hmm. I give you money, you give me what I need. It's mm-hmm. a business deal.
Transaction.
It's a transaction.
Yeah.
And when you go to the deepest level, and there's no coincidence, I think, that in the Anglo-Saxon language, when you refer to your loved one, you refer to your baby. Hi, baby. Hi, babe. How are you doing?
True, yeah.
That's strange, isn't it?
It is. Now that you say it, it sounds strange.
It's mature people, and hey, babe, how are you doing? There's no coincidence there. Mm-hmm. So it's peeling off the layer. So talking about meaningful relationship, you're talking about intimate relationships. And then you enter a realm and that precedes words. And that's where the talking therapy cure sort of ends. You can talk about the stuff that you are aware of, that you can put into words, but we had a life previous to this, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the domain that can be opened up by psychedelics.
Right.
More than anything, you can say hypnosis as well, but my experience is this will go deeper than that. And then you approach a realm of what you call the symbiotic part of relationship that we all share. And that's where lots of the trauma energy is still based into.
Yes.
You can work consciously on sort of becoming aware of whatever happened to you and work it out of your system by talking, by whatever. But in intimate partner relationships, it's all about this, I call it Bluetooth connection. And that's there's a lot of, pollution in Bluetooth connections, right? So what is a meaningful relationship? That it's learning from one another. And again, then you come to the four aspects of the necessity, of the willingness, mm-hmm. et cetera, right? So it's an opportunity, it's a gift. It's a gift to be able to learn about yourself through your partner. And if it's the same partner, then you have worked through all the layers that are on top. So this is a golden opportunity in longer lasting relationships to go to the bottom of it. Right. So that's why I think that longer lasting relationships are a beautiful gift, but it takes effort, it takes willingness, it takes awareness, it takes, what we talked about. So I hope there will be still room for longer lasting relationships. Looking at the figures, they're pointing in another direction. Mm-hmm. I think instead, it's about 50-50.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 50% people will get divorced, and there's still about 50% that will stay married. And I think those numbers will change towards more separation, more isolation, more
superficial.
The short version, why, or like what people are looking into when they do psychedelics, is often like, who's the person I am without the trauma, right? This is like what you start to look into. So if you don't do these codependent things anymore, what happens to me then? If you don't do these self-sabotaging things anymore, what happens then? So, and I feel sometimes if two people could meet that are less traumatized, there would be almost like a natural independence that is no longer like, oh, I need to be independent. Like this artificial independence that, like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's really interesting that the moment you move towards, if I have good moments, like without my trauma, then I feel like I don't really need, sometimes I don't even need to reach out to that person all the time during the day, but I still feel connected to that person. So, and I think that's a state that we almost unlearned because also of digital devices or like texting all the time. How are you? Oh, good. Meaningful conversations. So my question would be like, so let's say if you realize in a conversation before the therapy that one person has, like you said it earlier, has maybe is suffering from PTSD or has been really traumatized through sexual abuse or anything. So how do you kind of balance this then with the other person who might have a not such a bad experience in terms of relationships?
Yeah, well, that is quite regular. It's quite common that one person, for example, suffers from anxiety, depression, or a trauma, and thus it has an immediate effect on the relationships, on the children, on the partner. So we're not looking for a match in severity of certain symptoms.
Yeah.
We are, but what we do pay attention to is how is the partner dealing with all this? And we find with our individual trajectories here, when we invite the partner for one conversation, they are so grateful that someone is also giving them attention, because it's not always easy to be the partner of.
Of course, yeah, for sure.
So in the couples program, it's not a contraindication if one person has a trauma or a depression or anxiety and the other one doesn't.
Yeah, and well, again, at one point in their lives, they met. And the trauma was already there. Mm-hmm. Might not have been aware. It might not have been surfaced, but it was already there. So that's the big mystery to start with. Out of all the people that they could have chosen, they've chosen one another.
Yes.
And there's this law, Mr. Bowen, a renowned family therapist, said people with similar ego issues find themselves in relationships. So it's not like one of them is the patient and the other one is perfect. Now, under the surface, there is this most of the times necessity to interact. And when one of the partners is doing psychotherapy, it changes and it makes them more autonomous, because that's the whole process of therapy, right? Growing towards a mature autonomy. And then sometimes the trauma of this so-called normal partner shows up.
Yeah.
Because there was this innate innate necessity to be in the one-up position.
Very true.
Right? So it's you can't tell by the cover what the content of the book is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great retinons.
Well, it's quite well known.
God. You know what, guys? I think we have to do another round after this has launched, because this is obviously like the number one topic that people are interested in, will be more interested in than any other thing. But thank you so much for being on the show. We have you on an AMA very soon, and then people can ask me, can ask me anything. But I mean, I think we already made the, and then people can listen to the episode and then ask you another questions to actually book themselves in January into your hands.
Right.
So thank you so much, guys, for being on the show. It was amazing.
Well, thank you for having us.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the New Health Club Show, and please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or if you would like to sign up for our newsletter, please go to www.thenewhealthclub.de and subscribe to the newsletter. Again, please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Clubhouse, of course, there's also a New Health Club now, or even better, sign up to our newsletter on thenewhealthclub.de. I talk to you very soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.